Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Who are they? It's Existentialism Day on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show geared to gearheads like you and us, with your host, Ray Guarino, and the man who's still trying to fix his car clock. It'll probably take him about 3 months. Chris Switzer! Hey, how are you, Chris?
How are you, my brother? I'm doing very well, and yes, I still have a non-working clock.
Oh, look, it's only the first morning of the first day of daylight savings time, so...
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but probably sometime mid-June, you'll get that thing going.
I actually went, and I have an old C-body clock that I pulled out of an old convertible up in Rhode Island, and I thought, this thing has got to be cleaned up and put back together again. Not a problem. This is going to be an easy, super-duper fix. I took it all apart so gently, and I looked at it, and there's one of the shafts on one of the springs is literally just hanging off. I'm like, how can something like this break? How could it break?
You know how? I know how.
What?
Shaft.
How?
It's a bad mother. That's how.
I got shafted.
Yeah.
Someone got the coal mine.
Right,
and
you got the shaft.
Shaft.
Yeah. Got that right.
Dennett, 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 Dennett.
Oh, so cool. Oh, but we digress.
So are we talking to ourselves today?
We are.
Nice.
We were trying to get Jonathan Klinger in from Haggerty, and mm-hmm. I remembered, the email. It was an email trail, then it kind of went cold, and then I remembered when we had Jonathan on when he was doing 365 Days of A, and if you Google that, the number 365 Days of A, you'll find out what that means. He was always a Thursday caller.
Right, right.
So I don't know if he's going to be a Sunday caller, but anyway, that went cold. So yeah, it's you and I. Just do I have to find Crystal Gale? I mean, she's in here somewhere. I know we can. I don't know.
So how was the week? What went on automotively? You're the guy that's always spinning a wrench now.
Well, yeah.
You're the guy at the shop. Oh. You're the gentleman now. You have the shop. Well, I love it.
We try all sorts of stuff, but I will say that first off, if people want to talk with either you or I or both of us together, they can call 516-572-7440, and they should follow us on social media, motormouthradio.com on the web. We're also on Twitter and Facebook, Faccia Brutta, with the same names, and Instagram, which is my favorite, and Joe says is his favorite, is real
_
Motormouth Radio, and I did just talk to Joe about that yesterday, so we did a lengthy conversation, and he should be monitoring our activities right now, so... Joe,
nice.
keep your finger on the button. I'm sure he'll be sending messages as we diagnose things incorrectly.
Well, yes, I'm hoping to diagnose something incorrectly so Joe can like jump on it and go wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely. But automotively, No, you know, I'm going to look at something today when I get home because Linda our Mazda Protege, which has become a third, fourth tier car. Nobody wants to drive it but me. You know, let's face it.
I'm shocked you still have it. I mean, to me, that car I thought was on its way out like 10 years ago.
You know, it's a little workhorse, though. I tell you, the thing
it really is.
It's a great, you know, it's in good, well, the, you know, starting to have a few body issues like cars of its age will.
Sure.
But we did need it at times where, you know, now, I mean, my cars get taken out of the loop for any kind of sharing ability because they're either, mostly they have standard transmission, so.
I was going to say, I'd love to see one of your daughters borrow the GTO. Dad, can I take the GTO? I'm sure that's never been said in your house.
Well, Jenny, she wants to learn to drive a stick. She said that for a while, so. And I think she would probably be the one to do it. But, So my cars are out of the question, so that's that. And if Linda is using her car, you know, my wife, she's at a mom's, whatever, it only leaves that Mazda. And that's the default car that would have to be used, and sometimes it happens. So, you know, right now the way the household is set up, it's not really happening with Jenny's school session. She's, you know, the day where my wife uses the car exclusively, now it's free for her for work. So, so I took it yesterday. I took it to work and buzzed it out. Took it out to see Joe and all, and got on the highway. But last week, my wife used it. And came home, and I knew she used it because I could tell it, like, the sun visor was down. So as I parked in front of it, I just made note, okay, someone drove the car. Then the next morning when I went out and kind of glanced at it from seeing it from the curb side, I noticed the right rear tire was flat.
Flat?
Yeah. And I said, wife of mine, any noises in the car yesterday when you were driving? Oh, what do you mean? I'm like... Any kind of shifting, scrubbing...
Any vibration of some sort.
I did hear a low rumble, she says.
Oh.
I'm like, yeah, okay. So I went out with my new Milwaukee air inflator, which is great. I finally got one. You know, I wanted one for a long time, so...
Right.
Because, like, you know the way it's set up. That car in the second spot in front of the house, you know where that is in relation to my garage.
Correct.
It's about almost 100 feet away.
Yes.
So instead of ganging the hoses together to, you know, fill one tire, I said, you know what? I need a portable battery powered inflator to do that. And I did. The tire was out of air, and I said, that's odd. So I came home later in the day expecting to see it low or flat again, and it wasn't. And the next day it was. So I said, well, what the heck went on?
You know? What? Yeah, what was that all about?
Well, I did use the car a few days later and I checked it, and then it was down. It was low again. So there's something wrong. There is something. It just wasn't an immediate kind of flat. So today when I get home, I'm going to pull that wheel off and I'll roll it into the back and I'll try and do some magic on, you know, with my tire plug kit. So.
And I was going to say, that is where you and I certainly differ, because you will take the initiative to attempt to patch, or in your case, plug a tire. And I've never ventured into such territory. What I would do is I would just take the tire off and bring it to someone and say, you grovel and say, please fix this. But unfortunately, you get nickeled and dimed to death when you do that, because it's usually anywhere from a $20 to $30 job. And that's when you take the tire off and throw it in your car with good tires and take it over there, because they're looking at my car and they're going, well, your tires are fine, sir. And I'm like, no, the tire's in the back.
Right. Well, that alone is a time saver and a money saver as far as they're concerned, because they don't have to find the car, jack it up, take it off. You've done that for them.
Right.
Which also ensures you're not going to have lost or stripped lug nuts and, you know, bad studs. I've had that happen.
Exactly.
You know, I bought this tire plug kit, and I've actually given it to people as gifts. I just gave one to Mike a little while ago. Really?
Plug whatever you want, buddy.
Yeah, you know?
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Plug it.
Yeah. It's called a... I'll plug it now. Why not? They're not an endorser, but it's called a stop-and-go tire plug kit, and I got it over, probably 20 years ago, because Gerard sold. They had been rolling Thunder Cycles in scenic downtown Hempstead. And, I'm sorry. That's not how it went.
I was going to say, speaking of plugs.
Yeah, right. There you go. But we're good at that, right? No, I saw it, I think, in the BMW magazine, and then I told Gerard about it. I had him order me one, and then they liked it enough where they started carrying them. So that's how it happened. So now I've bought subsequent ones from them and given them to other people. And it's really like a, if you will, almost like a pop rivet gun for tire repair. And the pop rivet is a rubber plug that looks like a mushroom. It has a mushroom cap head on it and a shaft, if you will. And that gets, after you dress the hole and get it ready in the tire, that gun pushes that plug into the hole, and then if you can picture the mushroom head going onto the interior of the tire.
Well, I'm watching your hand gestures, and they're pretty.
That's the one, right?
There you suggestive.
Use a little oil, a little lubricant on there, and when you pull the gun out, it stretches the shaft.
You gotta put this to music.
I need a backing track. Yeah. That's your job. So as you pull the shaft, you stretch it, and that you also know that the mushroom, the umbrella type thing at the bottom is holding because it didn't pull out, obviously. And then you just slice it off with a razor blade.
Say, ooh, boy, that just ruined the mood.
It's like the Moyle said, won't be long now. Right? So anyway, and that plug effectively seals the tire. And I've only had very few that I couldn't seal. If it's an oblong hole by something that goes in on an oblique angle, you know, it won't seal.
Say, I have to get my protractor out.
Yeah, and I have to say, I bought that to use on the motorcycle for trips, and I've never used it on my own motorcycle on the road ever once, and I've repaired probably 40 or 50 car tires with it. I actually did do a couple motorcycle tires, but they were static. So
yeah, but never your own.
No, never had to. No. So, but you know what? That's what happens when you buy a specialty tool. Sometimes you use it for other purposes. Or, hey, as long as it gets used, you know?
No, that's true. No, I agree with you. So, I totally agree. I love, there's one tool that you have that completely still to this day cracks me up. It's the spark plug cleaner. It looks like a box, and it's got like two holes in the top of it, and you put the spark plug in there, and I don't know how it does it. Like, these tiny bristles come out and clean your spark plug. I don't know. It's like the tiny bubbles on the cleaner commercial that come running out onto your tub.
Like,
these little scrubbing bubbles come out and clean your plug, and I'm like, that thing is fascinating.
No, but you're right.
I saw you use it once.
Every auto shop, every gas station, I saw it in high school auto shop. There was always one screwed to the wall, and it takes air pressure.
Sure, it was.
And yeah, really, what it is there's a blast media in there, like a sandblast. So you put the plug in the rubber, like the rubber gasket, so nothing leaks out. And when you push the button, see, there's like a sock on there, a bag. And when you push the button, you see that thing kind of inflate like a balloon because now the air comes in. And it just circulates the media blast. And it hits the tip of the plug because that's what's sticking through the gasket. And you can sit there and turn it and get all the different sides. And, you know, and then you take it out, you blow it out. I actually take them out and I'll clean them with a little brake clean. To make sure I get that stuff. And then a little compressed air, check the gap, boom, done, put it back in.
So, yeah, my wife can't keep an emery board in the house because
I usually
swipe them.
Yeah.
Exactly, swipe them. And I use them on plugs or on points too now. And now that I have a car with points.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I got a car with points now. I'm looking at them going, what are these things? What do they do?
Right.
Points. So, but yeah, I've used them on the points, and I get yelled at usually once a month. Where's my emery board? I don't know what you're talking about, lady.
Yeah. They actually sold, and I think I probably still have one in my toolbox. It's called a points file. And it was literally a little file, but you know, it was only maybe the width of the thing was maybe 3/16 of an inch. It wasn't, it didn't have to be wide because it was only had to go the diameter of a set of points. And it was narrow. It wasn't very thick, you know, and it had the file rasp on either side so that when you put it through the points, just like an emery board, it would dress those points. So,
And very cool.
All the cool stuff we used to have that we don't need anymore.
Right. I had a little bit of an issue with the, I have the LeBaron. I don't usually talk about this car very much.
I know.
Because it's always been, truthfully, Ray, it's always been completely reliable. When I got the car, I think I told you, I tore down the top of the motor. I wanted to replace the timing belt, which I did. did the toothed groove belt, basically did that. And while I was there, I was able to do everything else. I cleaned out the top of the intake and went through the whole thing and did it really well, and it runs fine. I went to start it up. We had a warm day in February. I don't even remember. It was like up here. It was 35 degrees up here. It's warm.
Well, there was a 70-degree Sunday.
There was.
Yeah.
Right. So it was probably that day. I went to get the key. I started up the 300. It started the Newport 300. It started up just fine, not a problem. Which I was shocked, because that's the one that usually gives me grief if I keep it sitting for longer than a month. But the little LeBaron, which used to be always reliable, I hit the key. I got nothing, not even a glow, nothing. So of course I pull the battery cable off, and I'm touching it. I'm going over it with the ohm meter, and I'm thinking I have a short. I'm like, son of a gun, I got a short on this thing. It's like I think about like Mikey T, when Mikey T, our old co-host, used to say, it's the last thing you touched.
Right.
And that's usually, and the last thing I touched was I had the whole console out of the car because I was replacing the shifter. There was like a shifter blank that sat at the base of the shifter, mm-hmm. that moves. It's like a black piece of plastic. Well, on mine, it had disintegrated. So I replaced it. I bought another one and had to take the whole console apart and put this thing in there and put it all back together again. And I'm thinking, I must have snipped the wire, or the wire is grounding on something. I'm getting a draw off the battery. So I go in and test it. And, of course, I wasn't sure how I was testing it, if I was testing it well, but inevitably what I did was I just jumped the car, fired it up, and got it running. So it ran. And I'm like, okay, awesome. Let the battery charge up, and then the next day I'll check it again. Mm-hmm. So the battery charges, and then the next day I go and try and start it, and nothing.
Wow.
Zero. So I'm like, you know what, just go get a new battery, get a fresh battery, put it in there, because I don't know how old the battery is, mm-hmm. in the car itself. So I get a new battery, put it in the car, and I go and I'm in the process now of checking it. Like, that's what I have to do after we do the show. I'm going to go out there and see if the battery is still charged, because I haven't checked it yet.
Right.
But when I do, I'm going to check the ohms and see if I'm getting a draw from it, which is basically you pull the negative terminal off the battery and you go put the positive end of your ohm meter onto the negative terminal of the battery, and the negative part of your ohm meter goes on the cable itself, and you check to see if you have a draw.
Well,
and I don't know if I do yet.
Let me correct you on that. Actually,
did I break something already?
No. Well, yeah, the procedure is correct, but you broke it. The procedure is correct with disconnecting the battery cable and inserting the meter in series.
Right.
But what you should have the meter set on is milliamps, not on
milliamps.
Ohms. And make sure
yes.
And the leads, make sure the leads aren't in the positive and negative hole. The negative lead will be in the negative hole, and the positive lead, the red one, would go into the milliamp hole on the meter. And that's the draw. You want to read the current draw in milliamps. So
got it.
That's it.
Okay.
So I'll tell you what. And now that we're going to take a quick break, because we're going to play a new spot here on Motormouth Radio, which is kind of cool. There'll be accolades and joy throughout the land.
I heard there was a slick and exotic VO that did the spot.
Yeah, that's the one. So, speaking of points, we're going to throw this next. We're going to throw our exit tune out to all of our women in our lives who chase us down looking for those Emery boards. And and then we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer on 90.3 WHPC. Keep it where you got it.
This
show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
Your car not running right? Let the Motor Mouths help you out at 516-572-7440.
All right, we are back. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, my wife, his wife, everybody's wife. We're all doing the same thing. We're back and having fun. So, give us a call. Like Rob said, 516-572-7440. And we will all have fun together.
So, yes.
Absolutely.
Hello, you hear me? You do hear me now.
I do hear you now, yes.
Oh, good.
Oh, and that's we good. Have a flashy light.
Yes.
Let's try this. We'll push this, and we'll push this and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray, Chris, Billy G.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? Billy you Velvet.
You boys are speaking my language today. Points, condensers, tack and dwell, timing light, rotor.
Sure.
Working on the L48, the 350 small block in my Nova, and that's exactly what I'm tinkering with.
Oh, very
nice.
Good.
Nice.
Yeah. How's everybody?
That's awesome.
Good, good.
We're good. We good. Are so good. How are you?
You know, it's at the time of year, rotate the fleet and start planning for the car show already, so.
There you go.
You know, Bill, I am so glad you still do it. It is just such an institution, and I love it. I wish I can get down there more often, but I just love the fact that it is stronger than ever, and I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, year 22. You believe it?
Wow.
Wow.
I know.
Holy smokes. And it's so unique because what I love about it is that it's in a neighborhood. And it's in a nice neighborhood. And it's got it's a neighborhood with a view. And it's just like the whole neighborhood just gathers around, gets together, and just the support is just fantastic.
Well, Chris? That's what really sells. And I mean, it's not taking anything away from the, cars and coffees, gathering in parking lots and wherever, I mean, it's nice to be able to be on the bay looking out at the sound, that's the selling point. You know, if I lived out in Cow Harbor, in East Northport, that'd be another setting, or Port Washington, Sands Point. You know, those are the
right.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that was the one the Long Island GTO Club always did their show at Crab Meadow Beach, which is up there at Northport Harbor, which is always a great place. That was one of our favorites.
Yeah, yeah, and also the South Shore too. I mean, there's plenty of nice venues too.
And coming up, speaking of that, I was just had some correspondence with Ed Muro from the Tobey Beach show, which is coming up April 25th. I do believe that's the correct date. It's a Saturday this time. So this way they don't encroach on any of the other car clubs, car shows.
Yeah, the calendar. I know the calendar. You guys are part of the calendar group too, right?
We're really not ensconced with them anymore, but we do. We still advertise it. So.
Right, right. Yeah, it's funny. I was reading in Hagerty magazine this month, and Wayne Carini they wrote a piece on cars and coffees and how they were small things and now they're big. And I don't know if they're dying off. I mean, as guys get older now and the young guys, you tell me what's going. What's the beat on the island? I know the guys started it years ago at the Captree and. That's still stronger than ever, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I know my buddy Glenn, who's down in Tennessee, he just started a Cars and Coffee. Had the first one yesterday. So it's growing. It's out. It's in other states. It's all over the place. On the island here, I still see a ton. I think the closest we get to what is like, it's a cruise night. Not,
Right.
Guys are starting to call them Cars and Coffee, but you know, from what I've seen, we still have more cruise nights than we do have specific cars and coffees. But it's all good. It's all the same thing.
Yeah, the main thing to make it work is you got to have one guy that's got to be the shepherd and put the time in. And
right.
But then after a while, it's like you're taken away from being able to do other things socially. And it's kind of like when we started it years ago here. Actually, before the car show, the Malibu car show, I was doing a cruise night.
Mm-hmm.
At one of the at the school parking lot, and then we outgrew. I mean, guys, I had a guy show up with a funny car.
Yeah, there you go.
And did a burnout down the side street.
Ah,
you know, Monsignor got calls. And
right.
That was the end of that.
Say, look, tell Freddie DeGnome to stay home next time.
Yeah. So that was the end of that.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. You're no longer welcome.
No. But I wanted to just get my phone call and say hello. You know, and take away. I don't want to take away from the pace of the show. And
you just and added to it.
And Chris, I got to tell you, I'm a Chevy guy. Okay,
sure.
I mean, not that I have a bow tie tattooed on my shoulder or anything, but I'm a closet Mopar guy. I just want you to know that.
All right, so buddy. Am I.
I'm behind you, buddy. All right. That's a great endeavor. All right.
Bill, thank you for your support.
We'll be in touch.
Thanks, Bill. Guys.
Always.
Take care.
Bye. That was Billy Velvet.
It's nice to know I have support.
Right.
from my favorite bow tie representative.
Yeah.
Get the crying towels out and everything.
And I tell you, the other thing you don't need a crying towel for is you should be listening to the Nassau Morning Madhouse on this station right here. Weekday mornings from 7 to 9, Chris. It's very important. You can find out what you need to know to start your day the right way by that listening to that show. Tune in to find out what's trending and maybe laugh a little, too. Kind of like Motor Mouth Radio. It's
Yes. Can they show up at my house and make coffee?
Yes. It's more than a floor wax. It's actually a talk
dessert
show, too.
Topic.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah. But like you said, and Billy said, points and plugs, that's kind of the bit. And I know there's always guys. I just watched the video from Uncle Tony. We had him on just a few weeks ago on this show, Tony DeFeo. Right. And he just did a video dispelling the myth between points and HEI. And he's such an old...
There are myths?
Yeah, well, that HEI blows it away in so much of a stronger spark. And I do take a little umbrage to what he did, because he set up an HEI distributor in a vice. Now, you've seen pictures of how I did this. I actually posted them. Put a distributor on a vice, you turn the distributor with a drill, so that's your, you know, that represents the engine turning the distributor.
Yes.
And you hook it up to voltage, and you can actually see the spark.
Correct.
I went a little further with mine. I hooked up an oscilloscope and some meters, a dwell meter and all of that. So what he did is he just showed the spark coming out of the coil of this HEI, and he measured it at about an inch.
Okay.
It was a good fat spark. Then he took an old Chrysler points distributor, the same one that's in your 300,
right,
and showed how it was, you know, out of a junkyard car, the points and condenser weren't even changed, and blah, blah, blah. Couldn't have downgraded it anymore, you know. And hooked it up with a MSD coil and got the same one-inch spark.
Oh, come on.
And his claim is that, you see, you don't need an HEI, and there's more to it than that. There's more to it. It's the dwell time. It's the intensity of the spark. And you can see, you know, a point spark is never going to be as fat and as hot as an HEI. It's really the coil and all. And the module is what controls the dwell time on the HEI. But I think his point is the point that points can be reliable and a good ignition source is valid.
They can, but now there's a question of durability, right? Because every time that spark on the points, every time it sparks, you lose a micro bit of material off those points, right? Where on an HEI, that's not present. That's not apparent.
And there's one more thing that you lose every time that that engine spins, and that's the rubbing block that actually contacts the cam on the distributor that opens and closes the points.
Right.
And if you look on some of the older, cheaper points, it was like a whitish plastic piece of material.
Yes.
The good points like Excel and Niehoff and Blue Streak, they use like a brownish colored, look like a phenolic, Christian, right? And that wouldn't wear. And that's why you have to readjust the points. Not because the point itself wears, because that's microscopic, like you said. It's the rubbing block that wears.
It wears down on the cam. You're
and
exactly
that's
right.
Why you have to readjust the points. So yeah, from if you don't mind doing the main, and like the cars like Bill's and other guys who have cars that are you know, we don't use our cars every day anymore. Yeah, you can have points in them and you wouldn't even have to adjust them once a year. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
I think the points in my TR6 were at least 20 years old.
That was probably a dual point distributor, right?
No, it was single point.
Oh, okay.
Single point distributor. But it's funny you were talking about points, and like we spoke about last week about parts guys with Daryl last week, that you can probably hear online right now if you go back to motormouthradio.com. But I was at a parts store that's in Milford. That's one of those neighborhood parts stores, similar to your neighborhood parts store, but not as machine shoppy. But similar nonetheless. And I walk in and I order the points for the 300, and the guy gave me these points, and I made the mistake of not looking at them in the box, and I should. It's always a good thing. Open up the box and take a look. And I brought them home and I opened up the box and I looked at them, and they were these cheap tinny, almost made out of like tin foil with none of the components. It looked like something out of, you could find in an Alfa Romeo, let alone put it in a big Chrysler. I put it right back in the box and I took it right back and I put it on the counter and I was like, what is this? The guy opened it up and he looked at it and he's like, a set of points for a Mopar. I'm like, no, it's not. I says, can you give me a set of like blue streaks or something that looked like points? And the guy looked at me dead in the face and said, oh, well, you weren't brand specific.
Right, right.
I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not driving a cab out there. This is, I'm not driving like grandma's Valiant. This is something that's, I told him about the car. You think maybe you're going to splurge a little bit and take it upon yourself and give me the decent product? No, I have to spell it out, parts guy.
Well, I'll spell something out now for you. Here's another clue. Coming up April 25th, I think it is the date of the English Town Swap Meet and Show Jamboree in English Town. Oh, you know,
that's good, because I need socks. I need pants. What else do I need? Shoes.
Points. When you're looking on those dollar tables for 10-millimeter sockets, you'll find a lot of, I've seen them, points and condensers laying out just like on the table, you know?
Really?
And you'll get them for like, you know, pennies. So, I would, if you bring a set with you that you know fits, this way you can set the profile and you can compare them. You can walk out with a handful of points for probably a buck and a half. You know?
You're probably right. And that's probably the last thing you can find at English Town Swap Meet.
Right.
Because I've been there the last couple of times and walked out nearly empty-handed. I got some nice socks and pants, though.
Yes. Agreed. Right.
Nearly empty-handed.
Right. And I'll tell you something else you can get. So we're going to take another quick break here. But I also have to mention you want to listen to NCC's Battle of the Bands live on HPC 90.3 this Tuesday, March 10th at 7 p.m. That's going to be cool. It's, you know, the local kids battling it out on the stage with their instrumentos. So that's
cool. Oh, I was going to say, hitting each other? Or
they might. You never know. But so we're going to take another quick break, and we'll dedicate this song to all the people who go to English Town. And if you're a Who fan, you'll know it. You, Chris, you probably wouldn't know the name of this song, but the Who fans will. And all right, I'll spill the beans. It's called Relay. So you could buy. Yeah. I do that. I buy relays and relay harnesses at English Town for like just a couple of bucks, and you know, pennies on the dollar, and then. You know, then when you need them, instead of spending like $10, $12, $15, $20 in a parts store for this stuff,
true.
I know I spent like $350 and got a Bosch relay and holder. So, good stuff.
Very cool.
So, let's do that on 90.3 WHPC with Chris and Ray. Be back in a minute. Keep it where you got it.
Yep.
You can hear.
Let's sing along with Bruce.
Say it! Show a little. You ain't a beauty, but
Join me, Kim Tracy, for the music of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band every Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, and with the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Got a car question? Give the Motormouths a call at 516-572-7440.
All right, we're back. We got the relays clicking. We got the Chris, you're doing the wah-wah pedal great on that one. That was an excellent rendition. You know, you've added that to the cowbell. It's very nice. It's very, very good. Very sweet. I like that.
I'm just sitting here going, wah, 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 wah. That's about it.
That's very cool. And you know what? We have another telephonic communication here. So we will do this, end this, and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hi, Ray. It's Barry from the People's Republic of Sayasa calling.
Okay, Barry, you're on with Ray and Chris.
Hey, Barry.
You know, I just want to tell you, you know, the more I listen to you guys, you really know quite a bit about cars, Ray. And I just wanted to say, I almost gave up last week when you were talking about Pro Demand, but I'm getting back to it. And like the film says, you make me want to be a better tech. I just wanted to say, Chris's his clock. I called up a while back about my coolant temperature gauge. I found out the answer, but I'd like to exchange my gauge for Chris's clock. at least something will be right twice a day. But no, actually, the reason I'm calling, guys, it's not the temperature sender in the block. It's not the wiring. It's the actual gauge that's no good, and it just doesn't indicate the correct temperature. So do you have any suggestions before I just give up and stick my finger in the thermostat hole?
Okay, the actual gauge in the dash is NG. Now, what car was that again, Barry?
Oh, it's an 88 Sunbird Pontiac.
Oh, right.
It's an analog gauge. It's like, in other words, instead of reading 100 degrees when it's cold, it'll read like 180 and then go up to 240. It's not like indexing correctly.
Right. Well, obviously, okay. The first choice is a junkyard to try and find one if it's, you know, if it's available. But let's go on the assumption that that's going to be unobtainium. I would go with an aftermarket gauge.
Okay.
I mean, that's...
You could.
Because you know it's going to work. That's like the shortcut. It's available, it's cheap, and it's going to work. So it's got three things going for it. If you can find that factory gauge at a junkyard, its condition is unknown. The calibrations on those were always unknown, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
so
true.
And you don't know how it's going to work. So you have three strikes against you with that scenario, and the other scenario is like three strikes for you. So I don't know. That's...
Right.
Well... Barry, did you change the coolant temperature sensor on this car?
No, I didn't. I just checked it. It's good. I can get one, but no, it seems to be indicating correctly because there's a resistance.
Right.
There's a resistance reading for it, and it's correct at like 77 degrees, so it's good.
Barry, let me ask you this. The other piece of that puzzle is the wire between the sender and the gauge.
Yes.
What about running and just like, you know, stringing a wire over the fender and through the door and just, you know, doing it manually just to see if, you know, to eliminate that possibility?
In other words, even though the wire seems to be okay, it's possible maybe there's something, but just do an overlay, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Barry, this exact problem happened to me on my 90 Sunbird. And
right.
I unraveled the wire, the harness, about, say, 3 inches away from where the sensor sat in the block. And I just started to unravel it as a goof just to see. And I found the wires, like, corroded and frayed right there, right at that point. So it's worth a look. I mean, it's going to cost you a length of electrical tape, but it's worth a look.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I hear you, Chris. And I just wanted to say, you had mentioned that you didn't think the sender was under the distributor. You actually do it to get at it, like in a good way, you need to pull the distributor out.
Mm.
And I mean, no problem. But it's right underneath it. And it's like impossible to really handle with it, you know, without that. But yeah, I'm going to try that. So what you're saying is if nothing works, maybe go to a nice, like an auto meter. millimeter gauge and put it like maybe in a pot or something on the A pillar.
Yeah, and I tell you, you could even go. You don't have to even spend that kind. You can buy a SunTune gauge. You know, something that's like another level down.
Yeah.
Autometer makes they have a line called Auto Gauge, which is another lower line than their premium race series gauge. Yeah, you can get a water gauge for probably 30-ish, around $30 or so. You know, look at Summit or Jegs.
You guys got me really excited because you guys are talking. The other fellow called up about his 350. My neighbor, he bought a Nova, and he drove to Alaska. That was like in the 70s. No, I'm not kidding. This guy was like a mountain man, and he went there when it wasn't popular to go to Alaska. But, you know, also this blue streak and the point stuff, you were absolutely correct. I got to the point where with my own Nova, you could get the blue streak points. Points, which were like 14 karat gold plated points with a phenolic rubbing block.
There you go.
And you know what else you didn't mention, though? The condenser.
Right.
You should check if you have a capacitance meter, check the condenser capacity because that will influence the deposition of the metal on the point faces.
It does. And it actually, And I'll tell you something, Chris, in case you don't. I have a few capacitance meters. I actually have one built into a meter, and I have a standalone piece of test equipment that goes on a test bench. It's called a Z meter, and it tests capacitors. So
you know how I test the capacitor in the car?
Yeah.
If I tune the AM radio and you I know to change the capacitor.
Yeah, but it also smooths out the wave that ignition signal wave too. It also capacitors have it like a damping effect, if you will, for to not get into the electronics of it. So it is important in the ignition as well.
Okay. I tell you, you guys have gotten me so hyped and hopped and stoked up, man, because I had given up. And then I heard you speaking today and last week, and I said, gee, you know, these guys really know what's going on. And I have to just start taking out the Krause and Anglin book again and start reading through it again because I've forgotten so much.
Well, I tell you something. If you really want to get, I don't know if you what shape your heart is in, but if you really want to get, you can come hang out with us, and we'll really lay it on you. You'll walk out, your hair will frizz, man.
I'll tell you, I'm planning on doing that because I remember My Pie and when Mid Island Plaza was open air and Brian Gass at Sears. But I plan to do that, cool. But I'm kind of up to my neck trying to burrow out of the People's Republic of Syosset. They got a brick wall here, and I'm trying to escape.
Right.
But, great talking to you guys, and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Barry. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Keep up the fight. On the gauge.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So long.
Bye.
All right, that was Barry.
That was awesome. But yeah, it's something like that. What I love about those gauges and that whole GM late 80s or early 90s wiring is that I would say 9 out of 10 times, it's usually not the gauge. It's usually, like you say, Ray, it's what's getting to the gauge that's the problem. I'm having the same or a similar issue with the Chrysler, with the gas gauge. I still can't get it to read accurately.
Right.
And it's similar to what the problem Barry's having, where I get the correct, ohmage resistance, I guess you could say. I get the correct resistance when I pull the float out of the tank. And when I put the float back in, for some reason, it's not, the gauge is like going, what? Yeah. Huh?
I had some resistance too. I was wrong. English Town is Friday, the April 17th to Sunday, April 20th.
Okay.
But anyway, you know what? We got a flashy light again. Let's do this before we take our break. Let's push this and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Motor Mouths, me, Rob. How you doing?
What's up, Rob? You got a minute or two before the break. What do you got?
Okay.
What's up?
Real fast. I'm doing brakes on a Model A. Of course, they are drum brakes. New drums, new brake shoes. I just got them realigning them. They don't sit 100% properly in the drums, so they need to be re-arced. Who do you know does rearching on brake shoes these days?
You know, there was there was a guy called Perfect Brake in Baldwin who used to do it, and he's gone. I don't have an answer for you off the top of my head. I may be able to find it, though, because this just came up a little while ago, and then it's long enough ago that I forgot. But do you know anybody, Chris?
I could do it on a belt grinder, but, you know, it really is not precision when you do it on a belt grinder.
Right.
Now, unless you make a buck for the shoe to follow.
Well, that was what I was going to do and make a fixture mount on the belt grinder. But, you know, again, you know, I want something a little higher accuracy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, there was a... I don't know.
Yeah,
For those
60-mile-an-hour stops with the Model A.
Yes,
because
the Model A just,
Well, but the other thing, Chris, is, and of course, like a Model A usually top speed is about 45 miles an hour. But
right.
I've had it up to 65.
Oh, man.
You have overdrive in that car?
I mean, no, it was all over the road. It was throwing fluids everywhere, but, you know, yeah. And I couldn't stop it, but I did it.
Now, the thing is, if you don't have the correct arc on the shoes and or the drums, you get a unbalanced stop. Right. The car kind of pulsates
exactly.
As it stops.
Right.
So what it
right.
is, the whole theory is that the center of the brake shoe is supposed to contact first, and as you apply more pressure, the brake shoe bends out and then the ends contact.
Right, right.
It's basically okay. The theory of how it works. And I have one that sets perfectly well on the drum and another one that, you know, the ends are touching, so it's really actually reversed.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know,
well, I was going to say, Rob, swap the brake shoes and see what you get.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I know, it's back, right?
I'll tell you, this did come up not too long ago, so I got to just think about it. I have to get away from here and be able to think. And if I come up with something, I'll shoot you the information.
Yeah. Shoot me a text or something like that. Let me know. All right.
You got it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome, Rob.
Good talking to you,
guys.
All right, that was
take care, Rob.
That's Rob. Yes, that was that's something with an older car that you really have to take care of that most people don't think of. But
that's true.
Tell you what else we have to take care of. Our last break, we're going to go seek out. That's kind of sneaky of me, huh? Our good friend Steve Kay. Let's see what he's got to say about his great show Revelations, Chris. And then we'll be back for the last segment of Motor Mouth Radio, where you can call us at 516-572-7440. And of course, you can talk to myself, Ray Guarino, and his self, Chris Switzer. So
that's me.
Keep it where you got it. We'll be back in a quick sec. We take care of a little business on 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Yes, se habla español.
That's right. I'm se habla now.
Not here, but you know, at Celebrity Chase they do. we'll listen to you and say, huh?
Right. We know se habla español here on this show.
Que pasa?
Que pasta?
Yeah.
So, what'd you call your pasta?
This, I tell you something, Chris. This was this show kind of flew by. So I want to reiterate. We're having fun. You know, this is fun.
I'm just doing a lot of laughing. I'm just enjoying this.
See, that's why it flies by. When you're having a hard time, then it's a pain in the neck. But
when the earth cools,
yes,
and the oceans form.
His name just came up a little while ago, and I got it.
Oh, really?
It was pretty funny. But anyway,
that's an inside joke.
I know. Well, yeah, kind of. Brian, our Matco man, Brian, had said to just to be weary and be very, very careful when you check that battery drawer. Make sure your meter is hooked up right. Or he's right. You will fry your meter. It'll just go poof.
Oh, yeah. I've actually sparked them. I have a cheap meter that I use first. That's like my sacrificial meter.
Okay.
To make sure I got everything right. Because a couple of times I've laid it on the post and it went pow, pow, pow. And I'm like, oh, that's not good at all. Right. Don't do that.
You know, and the thing is, too, people will, the leads on the meter stay in the same position for volts and ohms, and which is the majority of what you're doing. But if you ever have to do current, you have to switch the leads. And a lot of times, guys, forget to put them back. So
you're right.
But anyway,
but thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
When I had my Challenger, that convertible Challenger I had years ago, I had a hell of a battery draw. I mean, it would just kill the battery. It was ridiculous. And I started systematically testing it. And I put the milliamp meter in line, and immediately it went to overload. I'm like, huh?
Ooh.
So I went from like the 20 million to 200 to the 2,000 milliamps. And I'm like, what? It's like, I had to go to the amp scale. And it was drawing like 30 amps. I'm like, what?
What?
Yeah. And of course, took me to the fuse box, and I removed the fuse box inside and found that, I was doing some other checking at the same time and found that everything was hot. And I knew in that car, like, I could turn the headlights on with the key off. I could work the power top with the key off.
Really?
And I didn't know if it was supposed to be that way. I didn't think so.
Not really.
Found out that, the fuse box is divided, and there are circuits on the fuse box that are switched, meaning the key has to be on, and others that are hot all the time, that like the interior lights and dome light, whatever.
Hazard lights.
Some previous owner, had gone in there and just bridged the two sides of the circuit of the box. So everything was hot all the time.
Wow.
And just to fast track this, because this took me a couple of days of playing around and scratching my head at this is when the data didn't make sense. I was like, wait a minute, what I'm seeing isn't making sense, but I know I'm seeing it and I know what's going on.
Right.
What it was on a convertible, you don't have a dome light, obviously, because you'd need a long wire for it to go back and forth. So, back where the armrests are, there are those usually little bump outs that have armrests, and that's where they put the lights on the Chryslers. And the lights were not in the car, but the sockets were there, and they fell back in, and the wire came through the end of the socket because there was no bulb to capture it.
Right.
And it would intermittently just touch the metal of the body.
Oh, how aggravating.
Dead
Holy
short.
Moly.
Boom.
Yeah.
And that's I found that, and I don't think I put lights in there, but I think what I did is I secured those wires into the sockets, draw fixed, problem solved, and I was like, oh, wow.
And you still can't see when you get in the car at night.
No, but who cares? I was probably drunk.
The same problem happened to me on the 300, but I went and looked through all the wiring because I'm aware of what you're talking about with those sockets, and they were fine, and everything was pretty much fine. But I found out, and this was just a shot in the dark, I swapped out the alternator.
Okay.
And that cured the problem.
Wow.
Yeah, the alternator was giving me a draw, and it was so ever so slight and dumping the battery, like in 3 weeks, that sort of thing. The battery would be stone cold dead. And that's why I was thinking, I got to pull the alternator on the LeBaron now. And it's like, no, that wasn't the case. Or at least I don't think it's the case. I'll find out later on this afternoon. But it was the case with the 300. And no, I don't know what was wrong with the alternator and why it was dead shorting. But I actually read it. After I changed the alternator, I read it and said there was a distinct possibility that could be the case as well. So,
from my time in the auto electric rebuilding shop, I will say the most common cause of that we saw was a shorted rotor in the alternator.
Okay.
The rotor is the piece that has the commutator that the brushes contact, and that spins. That's what the pulley is attached to. So the belt that rides the pulley, that's attached to the rotor. It spins inside of the big crown of thorns, like the Jesus crown of thorns, which is called the stator. And when it spins inside, it makes the magnetic, makes the magnetic field and creates electricity. It creates AC electricity through the – then, of course, goes through the rectifier and, blah, blah, blah. Look it up in a book. You'll see. But the rotors, short, that's – the stator could short, too, and also – but the rotor is connected to the brushes, which is connected to the battery through the regulator. Right. So that's your path.
Okay, that makes sense. But yeah, that's the only thing I could figure. And now it's running fine, and everything is good.
Yeah.
But you do bring up those lights in the back that are on the armrest on the Chryslers.
Right.
I have a stumper for the band here. When I had to not rewire, but I had to connect the wires, that some of them were really corroded, that were under the kick plate on the driver's side, and the wires run from the dash to the back to the trunk light and to those two lights, the one on one side on the passenger side, and they're courtesy lights, and they're mounted directly under the armrest in the back of the car. Mm-hmm. Well, when you hook up the wires, the thing that happens, which cracks me up, is you open up the driver's door, only one light goes on.
Ah, okay.
The light on the driver's side goes on. But now if I take those wires and flip them, then the passenger light goes on and the driver's light doesn't.
Hmm.
So I don't know if it's a Chrysler thing. Oh, and mind you, you open up the passenger side door and the passenger light goes on, but the driver's light doesn't.
It's acting like a, sound like a three-way switch. But there's like,
and I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to mention it to you.
Look at the grounds. I'm going to say I think it's searching for ground. And of course the switches ground into the door frame.
Right, right, and mind you, we're still talking about a car that sat for 30 years.
Right.
So anything, it could be anything.
Sure.
And that's why I bring it up, because I was hoping you would say, oh, it's the Finnegan pin that's always on those cars. Happened to me hundreds of times.
Now,
thousands of them.
You know, when you talk about something electrical like that, it's a matter of black magic, smoke, mirrors, conjecture.
Yes.
Get your pointy hat, get some tin foil, and go read old car craft in the bathroom. I don't know.
I know we're running out of time here. Here's one of the last things. I realized that I don't like to buy a lot of parts for the car. I like to sell a lot of parts off.
Yeah.
Have enough money to go buy something else for the car. I just recently sold off a whole slew of Seville parts on eBay. Got rid of them all. And I didn't need them. They were sitting in my closet, my garage for years. So some adventurous person bought about $300 worth of parts.
Guido
so
Saldano, still cruising Brooklyn.
A rug.
Oh, right.
Need a rug for the car.
You know what?
Because the rug is a disgusting mess in this thing.
Your hair has been getting thin.
Once I have the seats out, once I have the kick plates off, once I have the rocker plates off, I can now check out the wires and check out the grounds and do like dual service on this thing before I put the new rug in.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, because you've been wearing those hats and you should be out in the open again. People should be able to see you in all your beauty. No, I said you've been wearing a hat for a long time, and this way, if you go and buy that new rug, you won't have to worry, because you can just go out.
You know something? I can't hear you. I got to listen to you from the phone.
I see that. I see that. Yes, I understand that you don't know what I'm saying. Everybody else knows, but you don't.
Yeah,
something dropped out. I don't know, but well, that's all right. We're gonna drop out. Yeah. Oh God. Technology. We were doing so good too. No, Chris can't hear me all of a sudden.
And I don't know. Didn't do anything.
We didn't touch a damn thing. Ain't technology great?
I know. Yeah. This is awful.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, anyway, we're gonna be Kim will push some buttons and see what's going on. But that's nothing's gonna change anything. I don't know. So anyway, we will we'll keep
that's
you
really
in.
Weird.
It is weird. It is weird. So, yeah, nothing changed on this end, so I don't know what happened. So, anyway, we're going to be trying to get procure Jonathan Klinger from Haggerty, as well as Miss Alana Scher, formerly of Hot Rod Magazine, and to come in with us probably soon. But in any case, we're just about out of time anyway. So, Chris, we will try and find your shorts and figure out a way to do your testing. I'll see if I can send you a diagram. And for your battery draw, I'll see if I can do that later on, and we'll get it together. We'll fix it all up, and we'll prevail somehow. But
sounds good.
Yeah. We got about 30 seconds, so we're gonna get out. We'll give Kim some time because we got so many new spots to play on this station. It's incredible. So she's got a whole lineup up here. So that's it, Chris. Closing words.
Don't follow us home.
Yeah, I know. That's usually the way it goes over here. All right, so for Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, Motormouth Radio, Joe D., who's in the clouds with us today, we'll be back next week, and we'll throw some more curveballs at you, right? Chris?
Bye.
Bye. See you on 90.3 WHPC.